immediately you cringe with horror when you pause to realize the awful thing that Jephthah had to do. If you do not know the story of Jephthah, you're about to hear one of the most unusual and tragic stories that you ever heard in your life. Jephthah was a judge in the time of the judges. He was one like unto Gideon, Samson, Barak, and others of the judges. Jephthah only had one child. He had no sons. He had one dear daughter. That's all he had. Jephthah was leading the nation in a war against the Ammonites. Now you recall immediately that the Ammonites were the people who descended from Ammon, the son of Lot, by one of his daughters, in an awful, terrible sin committed by Lot and his daughters after the destruction of Sodom, or during the destruction maybe of Sodom. But the Ammonites were fighting against the people of God, and Jephthah was leading them. Jephthah came to God, and he made a vow. Now follow carefully, and you'll hear a tragic, I think a terrible, tragic vow that Jephthah made. Jephthah said, "Dear God, I want the victory over the Ammonites for my people. Now I'm going to battle, and if you will give me the victory over the Ammonites, I'll make you a promise. I vow that I will give to you, offer as a sacrifice to you, whatsoever passes through the door of my house when I return. If it's the finest lamb of the flock, I'll offer it as a sacrifice. I'll kill it and give it to you. If it's the best bullock I own, it'll be yours. Whatever it is, the first animal that passes through comes to meet me." Literally. Now, you say, what in the world were animals doing in the house? Well, in the Oriental homes, the houses were built around a little patio kind of a thing. It was nothing unusual for a lamb to be in the yard, the inner yard or patio. And Jephthah said, "Now, dear God, I'll give it to you. It matters not what it is. I'll give it to you. It's yours. If you'll give me the victory." Well, the victory did come. God gave to Jephthah and his people a wonderful victory over the Ammonites. And Jephthah, remembering his vow to God, as all people should, returned to his home. With victory still ringing in his ears, the song of victory still proceeding from his lips, Jephthah returns to his home. What will be the first thing that will come out of the house? Will it be the nicest lamb of the flock? The strongest bullock of the herd? The best of the he-goats? And Jephthah looks to the house to see what will come out first. To his dismay and horror, it's his only daughter. Well, Jephthah had made a promise. He had promised God that the first thing that walked through that house, the door of that house, if God would give him the victory, that he would sacrifice it, kill it, offer it as a sacrifice unto God. Can you imagine how he felt? His only daughter came through. Now then, he's made a vow. If he fulfills it, he will kill his only daughter and offer her as a sacrifice. And Jephthah's faced with an awful decision. Can you feature how he must have paced the floor that night? Can you feature how he looked at his daughter across the table, his thoughts stopped to think, "I promise God I'll take her life. I promise God I'll offer as a sacrifice." Can you feature the turmoil in his own soul and the dilemma that he faced when he stopped to realize if he kept his promise to God, he would have to take his own hands and murder his daughter, his only daughter. He had no sons, only one child. And Jephthah made this statement, "I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot turn back." Think of it. "I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot turn back." I'm talking this morning to a new Christian I'm talking to a person in this room this morning who walked this aisle just recently. You live in a new world. New words come from your lips. New thoughts have entered into your mind. New paths have been trodden by your feet. You're a new creature. You've been born again. But let me remind you, my dear beloved new Christian, the devil is not through with you yet. He cannot get your soul. You'll never go to hell if you've been born again. But the devil is not through with you yet. He is going to try to get you to go back to that tavern, back to that nightclub, back to that Playboy magazine, back to those dirty words, back to that wicked life, back to those bad women, back to the evil life. He's going to try to talk you into going back home on Sunday morning, and don't come to church on Sunday night, and don't come to church on Wednesday night. The devil is not through with you yet. Now may I say this morning and exhort you this morning to say with Jephthah of old, I have opened my mouth unto the Lord and I cannot turn back. I cannot go back. May I beseech you in God's name, don't go back. I'm talking to somebody who came to join this church. And there was, when you came to visit that first Sunday night, there was a thrill. My, you were glad. That first Sunday morning, the invitation time, the choir, the service, the fellowship, the gaiety, the delight, the thrill, the joy, the happiness. There was something different. No funeral dirge here. No high church ritual here. No formalism here. But a delight and a joy and a thrill in the service of God. And you joined the church. But it's old hat now. You've heard the choir 100 times. You've heard the preacher tell all of his funny stories. You've heard Dr. Billings tell how gorgeous he is. I mean, how gorgeous he thinks he is. You've heard all the duets and sextets, trios. It's old hat for you now. You've seen people say Sunday after Sunday, it's not new anymore. There's the temptation on Sunday morning to stay home, or on Sunday night, not to come back to church on Sunday night. The devil comes up beside you and taps you on the shoulder and says, go back. You say with Jephthah, I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. I will not go back. And Jephthah, realizing what it meant, Jephthah said, I cannot go back. John Bunyan, I've forgotten the name of that jail where he was now. All of a sudden, I know it like an old my own jail. That wasn't Bristol, was it? What was John Bunyan's jail, Mr. Graham? I'll think of it while I'm talking. But John Bunyan, the great Baptist preacher of England, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, was put in jail. There in the jail, he was much of the time flat on his back. It is said that the great Pilgrim's Progress, the second seller only to the Bible, was written on milk bottle stoppers from the milk that was brought to him while he was in jail. There came a little girl to see John Bunyan one day, sent by the officials, the adversaries. The little girl came to bring a message. You can go free, Mr. Bunyan. You can go free. All you have to do is promise that you'll never preach Jesus on the streets again. If you will promise that you'll never preach Jesus on the streets again or baptize again by immersion, you can go free. You can go, you can leave. And I'm here to tell you that you're a free man. John Bunyan looked at this little girl and said, if I am set free today, I will preach on the streets tomorrow. I cannot go back. And the little girl who was sent for the leaders said, but Daddy, you can come home. Daddy, you can come home. John Bunyan looked at his little girl, his own daughter, begging him to come home. And he said, sweetheart, I cannot go back. And then he quoted these words, I will lie here till the moss grows on my eyelids, but I cannot do either than what God bids me to do. I cannot go back. I cannot go back. College student, I cannot go back. You've come and it's tough, but I say, I cannot go back. You can't find a place to live, but say, I cannot go back. You folks that have grown in grace, and the devil has tempted you, and you want to go back to the old crowd and wrap your hand around the bottle that once had you as a slave. Look to the bottle and look to the first person who tempts you and say, I cannot go back. I cannot go back. I cannot go back. No place in a Christian's life retreat. Never return retreat. Never go back. It is said that back in the days of the Roman Empire, the Roman emperors, when they would, boy, sit up straight on the front row. Sit up straight, listen to me. Sit up straight. Son, sit up. That's right. You don't sleep here. You listen. It is said the Roman emperors, when they would go by boat to make a new beachhead, they would go take their boats up to the shore, get out of the boats, and burn the boats. Burn the boats. Why did they burn the boats? Because they did not want to have any way they could retreat. And so they would burn the boats. We don't burn the bridges behind you. They'd burn their boats behind them. Why? Because if they had to retreat, they had rather die than go back. And they said, I cannot go back. I cannot go back. I cannot go back. Why? Because we will not be defeated. And somebody asked them, how can you retreat if you are being beaten? And the answer came from the emperors, we will not be beaten. Have you not read the scripture that says we're more than conquerors through him that loved us? Have you not read the scripture that said we are unbeatable, we are unconquerable through him that loved us? Jephthah said, I know I vowed my daughter. I know I vowed to give what came through that door. I never thought it would be you, sweetheart. I never thought it would be my own daughter, my only child. But I have opened my mouth unto God, and I cannot go back. America's full this morning, full of people who come to Christ, joined the church, been baptized, started the tithe, taught a Sunday school class, gotten out and become discouraged and gone back into the world, gone back into sin, gone back into indifference, gone back into useless life. And I'm talking this morning to somebody who used to be a deacon in the church, but you went back. Talking to someone this morning who used to teach a Sunday school class, but you went back. I'm talking to someone this morning who used to tithe, but you went back. I'm talking to someone this morning who used to go to church on Sunday night, but you went back. I'm talking to somebody who used to come to church on Wednesday night, but you went back. I'm talking to somebody who used to have a bus route, but you went back. I'm talking to someone who used to go soul winning, but you went back. I'm talking to someone who used to live a clean life for God, but you went back. Oh, God, give us the stick-to-itiveness of a Jephthah who said, I know I promised my daughter. I know I vowed to give the first thing that walked through the door, and I do not want to do it, and I'm sorry I vowed it, but I opened my mouth to the Lord, and I cannot go back. I cannot go back. Talking to a Christian this morning, facing the will of God, is not easy to face. You will return from which you came. A fellow said to me not long ago, he said, Pastor, I believe you're right. I believe you preach the truth. And he said, I believe the fundamentalist position is the position that is the right position. But he said, Pastor, I don't like all the fighting. I don't like all the fighting. He said, always fighting and always having to stand alone. I don't like it. Well, I don't like it either. But I cannot go back. I cannot go back. I cannot go back. I've opened my mouth unto the Lord. This scripture. By the way, you students, you Christians, you preacher boys, here's the last verse. Here's the last verse. You want a verse that'll take you through the valley and bring you up on the mountaintop again? I cannot go back. You want a verse that'll take care of you when you face the stone wall? You don't know how you're going to get through? I cannot go back. You want a verse that'll keep you in the valley and keep you on the mountaintop and keep you when it rains and keep you when the sun is gleaming from the sky? I cannot go back. Every Christian here this morning ought to get this verse and squeeze it and look at it and memorize it and say it again and again and again. When Satan tempts you to turn back from where you are, look at him and say, Devil, I made a vow to God. I cannot go back. I cannot go back. I cannot go back. Years ago, on the third floor of the First Baptist Church on a fire escape. The First Baptist Church of Marshall, Texas. The least likely preacher boy ever to enroll in East Texas Baptist College was in a prayer meeting on the third floor of the fire escape of the First Baptist Church of Marshall, Texas. I was there with my buddy, Mel Rutter. He and I were students in school. Mel was voted the outstanding student of the senior class. And I, too, was voted as a student of the senior class. Mel and I went to the top of the third floor fire escape to have a prayer meeting. And I said, Mel, I don't think I can make it. He opened the Bible to Judges 11:35. Pointed his finger to these words. I've opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. And I got on my face before God and put my hand on this verse. And I said, dear God, I'm not much preacher, but I cannot go back. I cannot go back to Dallas. I cannot go back to my home church. I cannot go back a failure. I'm not going to go back. And you say this morning, my Christian friend, I'm going to do what God tells me to do. I'm going to do God's bidding. I'm going to do God's will. I'm not. Anybody can quit and go home. Anybody can turn back. Anybody can go back to the tavern. Anybody can lay in bed on Sunday morning. Anybody can stay home and watch Ed Sullivan on Sunday night. Anybody can stay out of church on Wednesday night. Anybody can rob God of the tithe. But you look the devil square in the eyeball and say, you listen to me, O Lucifer, thou son of the morning. You listen to me, O Belial, the father of liars. You hear what I'm going to tell you. I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back, and I will not go back. God pity this generation of spineless Christians. Go with the wind. But you know, when the wind hits our sails, we drift along the water. May we say we've come this far. And we'll not go back. I will not go back. I will not go back into sin. I will not go back to the world. I will not go back to liberalism. I will not go back from God's will. Years ago, my first full-time church called me to be a pastor. After midnight one night, the three men, the biggest, most influential men in the church, met me, and they said, young man, you only got called by one vote to this church. They sat me on the front pew right here on this side. All three of them stood up after midnight. One man looked at me, and he said, young man, he said, I own more houses, or most of the houses the people in this church live in. I run the biggest store in this neighborhood. I'm the biggest landowner and the biggest giver to this church. He said, young man, I know you've been called by 27 to 26 to pastor this church. But he said, if you walk in that pulpit, I'll see to it you don't get paid. Next fellow stood up. He was a professional wrestler. Used to be when he was younger. Big, husky fellow. Built like Dr. Billings. Would be. He weren't built like a milk bottle. He stood up and he said, now, young man, I, too, will see to it you don't walk in that pulpit next Sunday morning. He was the treasurer. Then the next fellow stood up. He was the teacher of the Bible class, the adult Bible class. He said, young man, we don't want you here. Chairman of the Board of Deacons, richest man in the neighborhood, church treasurer, adult superintendent, adult teacher, said, you will not walk in that pulpit next Sunday morning. Well, I didn't want to walk in that pulpit next Sunday morning. Didn't feel that in the flesh. But way in the night, I put my hands on Judges 11:35. I cannot go back. I cannot go back. God's called me to the pulpit. I'll walk in the pulpit. I cannot go back. Years later, I faced in my ministry what I thought was the Waterloo. And I said to a liberal college, I'll not give one more dime to support your liberalism. When I said to a Baptist convention, I'll not give one more dime to support your liberal teaching in colleges and seminaries. When I said, I'll not send out one more dime to support some missionary who does not believe this Bible. Amen. They took action against me. voted me out of the group of Baptists with whom I fellowshipped. I thought it was over. I wanted to quit. I wanted to get a job somewhere. I opened my Bible to Judges 11:35 and placed my hand on this scripture. I cannot go back. I cannot go back. I've come too far. I cannot go back. Years later, the dear Lord spoke to my heart. Driving around the city of Garland, Texas in 1959, just about 13 years ago this month. One night, I drove around the city of Garland all night long and prayed all night long. I knew God had called me to Hammond, but I didn't want to come. I knew God had called me up north, but I didn't care if a Yankee ever got to heaven. In fact, as I've said so often, there's another place that I'd consigned all Yankees to. It's not purgatory either. It's on down farther than that. I didn't want to come to Chicago. But I knew God had led me. And I'd resigned my church, and that Saturday night, I drove all night long. And I said, I think I'm going to go to my church and tell them it was a mistake. I'm here, and I love you, and this is where I want to live. I said, let me walk in the fields. He said, no, walk in the town. But I said, there are no flowers there. Young girls, he said, no flowers but a crown. But I said, the air is thick, and the fog is veiling the sun. But he wept and said, he said, people walk in darkness undone. But I said, the sky is black, and the fog is there's nothing but noise and din. But he said, my child, there is more. There's a host of people in sin. But I said, I'll miss the flowers. And he said, and if my friends will miss me, they say. He said, my child, choose tonight if I am to miss you or they. But I beg for more time to be given. He said, my child, is it hard to decide? It'll not seem hard in heaven to follow the steps of thy guide. So I took one look at the flowers and cast my eye toward the town. He said, my child, won't you yield and exchange your flowers for a crown? So into his hand went mine. Into my heart came he. And now I walk in a light divine in a path I had dreaded to see. I didn't want to come to the concrete jungles of Chicago. I didn't want to live in the area where there's soot. I didn't want to live in the area where there's noise and din and sin. But somebody's got to do it. Somebody has to carry the message. Somebody has to say, I'll not go back. I cannot go back. And on my face, 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, open my Bible to Judges 11:35 and place my hand on this passage, and I said to God, I cannot go back. I cannot go back. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, for a group of preachers and a group of Christians to whom the only thing that matters is the will of God. All that matters is doing what God wants us to do. I 10,000 times rather live in the city of Hammond, Indiana, smell the smoke of the steel mills and feel the soot and grime from the oil refineries and bask in the sunlight of Hawaii and not be in the will of God for my life. I cannot go back. I cannot go back. I cannot go back. Jephthah said, I've opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. Then when I came to Indiana, 8 churches contacted me from Texas, wanted me to come back and be their pastor. 4 of them I preached in. 4 of them I knew the people. I wanted to go back. I wanted to go back. They got a petition up when I first came here, and I got a hold of it. And on the top of the petition, it said, sign this. It said, go home, Rebel. It said, sign this. And the petition was to send me back to Texas. Some of the folks here didn't like me. I never have understood why anybody wouldn't like me. But some of the folks didn't like me. And the petition was send me back to Texas, and I tried to get it so I could sign it. I wanted to go back. I wanted to go back. But one night at the Bill Rice Ranch, about 5 o'clock in the morning, after praying all night in room 11 of the Widener Inn, I opened my Bible to Judges 11:35, and it said, I cannot go back. I cannot go back. I cannot, no more than I could go back to my hometown when I faced the battles of college. No more than I could go back home to my home church when I faced the battles of that little Grange Hall Baptist Church when the 3 leading men told me I'd not walk in the pulpit. No more than I could not go back when I had the problem with the liberal missionaries and liberal schools. No more than I could not go back that night I prayed all night long in Texas. And no more than I cannot go back. I cannot go back. Why? Because I've come this far. I've opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. God, give us some Christians who won't give up. Give us some Christians to whom the will of God means everything. Certain Christian this morning I'm talking to, you're here in this room. The temptation is to go back, to go back, to go. What kind of Christianity is that? God, give us some people who will say with Jephthah, I've opened my mouth unto the Lord. It'll mean my daughter. It'll mean my girl. It'll mean my only child, but I've opened my mouth. I'll not break my vows to God. I'm talking this morning to a Christian who promised God years ago you would tithe, and you've robbed God. You don't tithe anymore. I'm talking to some Christian this morning who promised God that you'd make a contribution or a loan to Baptist City. You made a vow. You wrote your name down. You wrote it down what you would do. You've gone back on it. You lied. You cheated. Oh, would God give you the grace that God gave to Jephthah, who said, I've opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. I cannot go back. I cannot go back. Listen to me. When you make a promise to God, brother, you better be careful. You'll be 6 foot under pushing up daisies. There's a very serious truth in the Bible. And that truth is this. When a person makes a vow unto God, the wrath and judgment of the God to whom he made that vow is upon him if he breaks the vow. I don't know what happened. I do not know what happened. But I do recall in the book of Genesis a similar story. The Lord came to Abraham and said, I want your son Isaac. But Lord, he's the only boy I've got by Sarah. He's the promised one. You promised to bless the whole world through him. Lord, you don't want Isaac. And God said, Abraham, I want the most precious thing on earth. I want Isaac. Take Isaac. 3 days' journey up to Mount Moriah and offer Isaac there as a sacrifice. Abraham saddled his ass. Isaac, his son, beside him. He took some wood, a knife, started the 3-day trek to Mount Moriah. It wasn't long till the shadows began to fall on the Judean hills. Abraham said, Isaac, we better stop and pitch a tent here. Or we better stop and just sleep here for the night. And Isaac, his son, goes off to sleep. Abraham looks up to the skies of Judea and sees the stars, innumerable they are. Abraham can't sleep because sleeping beside him is his only son. And God said he wanted him. Abraham looked at the stars that night and he said, dear God, I don't understand it. You promised me that through this boy, my seed would be as many as the stars in the heavens to which I look now. Now you want my boy. You want my boy. Why? Next day they make a long part of their journey. After 2 days, they stop to rest the next night. Isaac goes off to sleep, and Abraham looks over and feels his brow. Realizing that the hours are soon when he must take the knife he holds in his own hand and pierce the breast of his own boy and take his life. Abraham reaches out and picks up a handful of sand. And as the sand of Judea trickles through his fingers, Abraham says, dear God, you promised me that the seed from this boy would be like the sand for number. And now you want my boy. You recall the story. Finally, Abraham and Isaac came to Mount Moriah. Abraham built himself the altar, prepared the fire, laid his son on the altar, and lifted his knife to pierce the bosom of his own son. God didn't make him do it, but Abraham was willing not to turn back. And Jephthah, his own daughter, walked through the door, dancing and playing on the timbrel. Hey, daddy's home! Daddy's home! Daddy's home! Daddy's home! And Jephthah says, oh my God, I didn't know it'd be my own daughter. He looks at her. Her cheeks are rosy and her hair is lovely and her little face is full of delight and joy. And Jephthah says, I made a vow. I've opened my mouth unto the Lord and I cannot turn back. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, pierce the heart of that new Christian this morning with conviction, and may you say, I cannot turn back. Pierce the heart of that young boy been called to preach this morning who's facing battles, and may you say, I cannot turn back. Pierce the heart of that young lady this morning who's tempted to go back into sin, shorten her skirts, and go into sin. May she say, I cannot turn back. I cannot turn back. Oh, dear God, that young couple that's here from distant state, the bills are many and the temptation to go back home are many. They're homesick this morning. May they say with Jephthah, I've opened my mouth unto the Lord and I cannot go back. May we find the will of God and stay there. Saying with Jephthah of old, facing the most tragic event of his life, that of sacrificing his own daughter, I cannot go back. 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 May the words ring in our ears at night. May we toss and tumble till we do thy will. May our souls be convicted, and may we say with Jephthah, okay, whatever it is, I cannot go back. Doesn't matter what happens to me, it's what happens to the will of God. Doesn't matter what happens to me, what I like best, it's what God wants. I cannot go back. I cannot go back. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'm talking to somebody this morning. Oh, folks think you're a pretty good Christian. Your neighbors think you're a pretty good Christian. You've got a good reputation as being a fine Christian, maybe the finest in your neighborhood or your city. But you know in your own heart, you know, you're about to go back. About to go back in the world. About to go back to luxury. About to go back to convenience. About to go back to sin. About to go back to the old life. I wonder how many would say this morning, Pastor, in some area of my Christian life, I've either gone back or been tempted to. I want God to forgive me, and I want to make the vow that Jephthah made this morning. I've opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. Would you raise your hand, please, all over the building. All over the building. All over the building. Keep them up, all of us. Join us, please. You can lower your hands. Thank you. Are there others? For the house, there's something I've been tempted to return to. Some place or something or some sin. But God has spoken to my heart this morning. And I say with Jephthah, I cannot go back. Would you raise your hand, please? Are there others? God bless you. Are there others? God bless you. Are there others? God bless you. God bless you. Yes. Are there others? Are there others? Our Heavenly Father, may we learn this talent, yes, to have the character of stick-to-itiveness. Pressing on the upward way. New heights to gain every day. Still praying as we onward bound. Never going back. Never retreating. Burning the boats. Burning the boats. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. You know your problem? You know why you're going to go back? Because you didn't burn the boats when you landed. You didn't burn the boats when you landed. you didn't burn the boats when you landed. If when you landed you had burned the boats, you'd never go back. You'd never go back. Burn the boats this morning. Burn them. Burn them. I'm talking to someone this morning who's come almost to becoming a Christian. You're so close to saying yes to Christ. You're just that far from becoming a Christian. Don't go back. Don't go back. Don't go back. Come to Christ this morning. Receive the Savior this morning. You say with Jephthah, I cannot go back into doubt. I've got to go forward. I've got to receive Christ. I've got to become a Christian. I'm at the hour of decision, and I cannot go back. I wonder how many would say this morning, Pastor, I don't even know that I'm saved, but I wish I did. I'd like to be saved. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please, all over this great crowd of people this morning. Raise it way up high. With the uplifted hand, you're saying, pray for me. I want to know that I'm saved. I want to know that I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Lift your hand way up high. God bless you. Is there another? God bless those two in the balcony. Are there others? Pray for me. I want to know that I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please? God bless you back here. Yes, God bless you. Who else? Pray for me. I want to be saved. God bless you in the balcony. Who else would say, pray for me. I want to be saved and know it. Would you lift your hand? God bless you back here. And God bless you back here. Yes, I see you, young lady. God bless you. Are there others? Anywhere in the house? Our Heavenly Father, may each of these come to Christ this morning. May they feel the need of saying yes to Christ. Now heads are bowed. When we sing in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands to come down this aisle and let me show you how you can become a Christian. We can help you. You can walk out those doors this morning a child of God, your name written in the book of life, on your way to heaven. So come down the aisle this morning and say yes to God. Others ought to come and say, I want to get baptized. Are you saved? Okay, then don't go back. Keep going forward. If you're saved and baptized, you belong to a church, then don't go back. Come and join the church by transfer of membership. If you're not saved, come down the aisle and receive Christ. If you're not baptized, come down the aisle and receive baptism. I'll baptize you this morning. You need not have anything but a willing heart. We have the robes, we have the towels, we just need you. If you need to join the church by transfer, then you come. Well, whatever you were, whoever you are, say with Jephthah, who looked at the precious face of his only child, realizing that soon his own hand would guide the knife that would pierce her breast and take her life. Say with the emotion of Jephthah, who said, I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. God make it so. Amen.